All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design, thoughtful construction, and little details that make life in your space easier. And now they're bringing that comfort and style outside with their outdoor collection. Burrow's outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry stain-resistant foam cushions. As always, you get free shipping on every order. Get 15% off at burrow.com/acast. burrow.com/acast.
Welcome to the DFO Rundown Podcast with Frank Saravalli and Jason Greger on dailyfaceoff.com. Delivered by DoorDash.
Welcome to a special Canada Day, 4th of July combo edition of the DFO Rundown. It's episode 142, and it's brought to you by 3ICE, the new 100% three-on-three hockey league that launches this summer. It's overtime all the time. Led by six Hall of Famers, Guy Carboneau, Grant Fuhr, Larry Murphy, John LeClair, Joe Mullen, and Brian Trottier, 3ICE will be hitting 8 cities over 9 weeks, including 2 stops in Canada, London, Ontario on July 16th, and Quebec City on July 30th. Get your tickets at 3ICE.com. 3ICE, the best part of hockey. Frank Saravalli joins us. And Frank, you got the Canada and U.S. flag in the background. Nice. Good good prop for the show today. There's lots to discuss. Let's start with the Detroit Red Wings as they finally picked a coach. Now, this had been rumbling for a while. People wondering why they're waiting. And obviously, they were waiting for Derek Lalonde to finish off the season with the Tampa Bay Lightning. And he obviously has connections to Steve Yzerman when he was there. What do you make of this hire?
Yeah, this was sort of out there for a long time. And I think it's going to sound really funny to say, but I think the people that are on the insider track or reporters haven't been all over it, because Steve Yzerman is rather ruthless in that. I think he's one of those guys that if the news leaks, it kills the guy's candidacy. And I don't know that anyone wanted to be in that spot where they were messing things up for Derek Lalonde, but certainly someone who his path is well-traveled, has been there and done a lot, had been at the right hand of John Cooper in Tampa for the last 4 years, and is a kind of a totally different personality, not necessarily in terms of positivity or anything like that, but just in terms of, you know, the way they go about themselves is certainly a little bit different. Has had some success at a number of different stops, USHL, ECHL, AHL very briefly, didn't make the playoffs, but is someone that was really well respected. And I think the key for me here, Jason, is that Derek Lalonde is someone that Steve Yzerman would know well from his time in Tampa, that this was a curated selection, a curated hire, had sort of set his sights on Derek Lalonde from the beginning of this process and just more or less waited until he was available.
Well, I think Derek Lalonde comes in a good opportunity here. Detroit is a team with arrows pointing up. They're not there yet, but man, we got Mo Sider on the back end. They got Raymond. I really like Dylan Larkin as a player. I think they've got pieces and they got more pieces coming.
Wait till they get their goalie in net.
Yeah, well, that's always a challenge. But hey, with goalies, you never know, man. From year to year, outside of the top five, somebody can stand on their head. But like, I like Detroit. Detroit's got a ton of cap space, Frank. If they want to be a player, they could be a player this offseason. I think Steve Yzerman's ultra patient. I don't think he's going to rush and want to overpay for UFAs, which is the smart thing to do. They're like, that's, you know, that might help him for a year, but it's not going to help him later on. And I think he's thinking big picture, but I think Lalonde comes in the right time. And if he can just keep this team improving, you know, he could be a benefactor of joining a club at the right time.
Yeah, it's almost a little unfortunate for Jeff Blashill for all the losing that they went through. He leaves with a very tough record behind the bench, and understandably so, given the nature of what Detroit wanted to do. And he was there really for a long time. You look back on Blashill's tenure, seven full seasons in Detroit, and walks with a 447 points percentage. In today's NHL, 500 is somewhat easy to do. 447, that's tough. But it does seem like Jeff Blashill is in the mix for the Winnipeg Jets job.
Winnipeg, to me, is a fascinating situation where, you know, I get that Pierre-Luc Dubois, hey, you know what?
Why would he say that?
Well, I think it's the polite way. It's the polite way of saying, hey, I want to get traded without saying I want to get traded.
I listen to that and I look at that and I say, you've now made your fan, even if you don't get traded, you've now made that fan base hate you. They're not invested in you any longer.
Yeah, that's fair.
I don't see the foresight. I don't see the win in it. I really don't. But you know what? To each his own. And if he's trying to get out of there already, that's a totally different story. He had a really good season. He really stepped his game up in a big way.
I really wonder, Frank, if, because historically top players in the NHL have been very loyal to their organizations over time. And, you know, John Tavares was kind of the first bigger name guy to leave in free agency, right? When he had the opportunity, you know, Steven Stamkos came close, but he ultimately didn't leave. And I just wonder if especially now in the league where, you know, for many years, I understand why, you know, there's no salary cap. So that was a big factor. And, you know, teams would trade guys lots, but you know, you didn't have the superstars leading in free agency. They would leave and say, I want to get traded. And so they would get traded. But I just wonder with free agency and more teams, if you're going to see players at the age of 27, recognizing that, you know what, I might sign a 7-year deal out of my entry level deal. Are guys going to be going 8 years anymore? I think they're going to want to try to see if they can set themselves up for free agency earlier. I think that's going to be a trend we're going to see in the next decade. And you know what? The people that are going to hate it the most are fans, and rightfully so, because they'll get attached to players and they're going to be gone sooner than they would like.
Yeah. I don't have any sort of feelings one way or the other on that. I would say use the system to your advantage, because teams are working you to their advantage through the first, you know, 6, 7, 8 years of your career to start. So it's only right to go the other way.
Yeah. And it's going to come down a lot to, you know, the organizations that are good organizations, they're going to have a better chance to keep players. And speaking of good organizations, for the longest time, Frank, they were one of the top organizations in the National Hockey League. They haven't been for the last few seasons, but their owner still wants them to be. The San Jose Sharks, here we are. You mentioned it's June 30th when we're taping this. It comes out on Canada Day. But the San Jose Sharks were less than a week away from the draft. Now, I know their GM obviously wouldn't come in and have the final say at all, but you got to think they're getting closer. You know, I've heard rumblings, Mike Greer, we might have the first ever brothers in the NFL and NHL as GMs. Ray,
is he Whitney, the front runner? I don't have any sort of sense of what's going on in San Jose.
Well, I know that Ray Whitney's interviewed recently for that. Good.
That was a while ago. Yeah, that was 6 weeks ago, and he was out.
But I thought he was back in because I thought he got his second one.
I believe he's out. It might have changed, but I thought he was out.
Okay. Well, the thing about the Sharks is, Frank, there's still only 32 GM jobs, right? Maybe guys can be like, maybe they can be picky, but I wonder ultimately, and I know that they're like, well, the owner still wants to win. And I know that when you look at their salary cap, it's not ideal, but man, I'd rather still want to go to an organization where you felt like, hey man, this owner is going to try to win rather than some organization. They're just like, meh, whatever. Right. I'd still rather go where they feel that the guy has the belief you can win. Mm.
I get that. Is it realistic? Like we talked last episode about San Jose, right? And how much work they have to do. Like, do you?
Well, I don't think it's right. It would help. Like if Ferraro and Carlson are healthy all year, how different is your team, right?
The Pacific Division. I still don't think they're a playoff team.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I would agree with you, but every year there's a few teams we didn't think are playoff teams that become playoff teams, right? So
yeah, but look at the Los Angeles Kings and the trade they make for Kevin Fiala.
I love that trade. I love that trade for LA.
Oh, really? I love that trade for Minnesota.
What? Okay, why?
Well, this was a guy that they had no plans on re-signing and were not issuing a qualifying offer at all. And in Kevin Fiala, what they get in return is a first round pick and a solid prospect in Brock Faber that a lot of teams see as a number four defenseman. So he's going to be the captain at Minnesota this year. And it's right in their backyard. They're going to get a chance to work with him, see him and watch him develop and help him develop. And then potentially at the end of the year, he can contribute to your lineup on an entry-level contract if all goes well. And you get the 19th overall pick, which in this draft, who's to say that 19th overall pick is not Brock Besser or is not Kyle Connor or is not someone else like in some other year where maybe the best players in the draft are not the ones taking 1, 2, 3.
Yeah, no, that's fair. Sure. You know, you got some hope. They got two picks, five picks apart now for Minnesota, 19th and 24th. So sure, that could be a player. And the good news for Minnesota, I guess, is by the time they're out of cap hell, you know, that player might be ready to be in the NHL because let's be real here. You know, if you're a 19th pick, you're not helping for at least 2 years, probably three.
So they've got 12, 14, 14 in terms of cap hell in dead cap space. I'd say at some point those picks, if they choose correctly, we'll be helping them while they're still in cap hell.
Potentially in the third year, but I wrote a whole article on picks and where guys are picked and the difference in the first round. But I love that trade for LA. Kevin Fiala just scored 85 points playing with Freddie Gaudreau. Frank, how many people knew that Freddie Gaudreau was his centerman? I think a lot of people like, oh, he was riding the coattails of Kaprizov. No, he wasn't. He played mainly with Gaudreau and a rookie, a very good rookie, I should add, in Matt Boldy. He's an 85-point player who
doesn't have a track record of being an 85-point
player. Yeah, but lots of guys, I can go through the list of guys who pop, and he doesn't have to score 85 points to be good value. If he scores 75 points next year, just 75 points, and he's going to play with Kempe and Kopitar. Oh, I think this is going to be a great trade for the LA Kings. They had cap space. And Frank, I went back and looked at all the contracts in the last 5 years that have been recently signed by guys in that pay scale. He's not overpaid at all, right? So it's not like they paid him a ton.
I don't think he's overpaid at all. Not at that production level. But my point is, with Fiala, when you pay a guy that type of money, because before when he's doing it at $5 million, it's a bargoon, right? Now, when you're paying him 7.8 for the next 7 years, you need him to be a driver on your team. Can Kevin Fiala be a driver? If the Minnesota Wild thought that Kevin Fiala was a driver, they would have traded someone else and just re-signed him.
Yeah, I don't know if you have to be a driver, Frank, honestly, at that level.
At $8 million, you don't have to be a driver. Come on.
Well, is Brady Tkachuk a driver?
Are you kidding?
But how does he drive a line? Like, what points is it? Like, to me, a driver of a line is a guy who's over a point a game player. Is he not?
No, it's someone that helps drive play. Everything that happens with that line happens around what Brady Tkachuk is or isn't doing. Either he's on or he's off. Brady Tkachuk is a driver.
Okay. Well, yeah, to me, to be a driver, you got to be a big time point producer. That's kind of my definition. So we maybe have different.
If you're just talking point, and I'm not saying, don't mistake what I'm saying about Kevin Fiala. I'm not saying that his points are empty calorie points. I don't think that at all. What I'm saying is when I watched him in the playoffs, he's not there. And I know it's one series, but he's got another playoff track record previously. He's not a driver to me. So yeah. I think when you're spending eight, you got to get a driver. That's just my opinion.
Yeah. Well, the good news is, you know what, maybe he's not a driver now, but he doesn't have to be when he's got Kempe and Kopitar, right? He can just be a really good complimentary winger who's going to produce big time for you. I love that trade for LA. They fill the hole that exactly they were looking for. They wanted they had on their whole whiteboard. That was the spot they wanted and they were able to fill it. And, you know, giving up the first round pick, like LA's got tons of prospects, right? Like they didn't need another 19th overall pick. Right. And you're right. Brock Faber, you know what? He might be a good defenseman in a few years. LA, look at their defense corps. It's pretty young now. So, you know, this might be a trade that works out really well for both sides. But I'll say this. If Minnesota didn't have the two buyouts, I think they're re-signing Kevin Fiala and not trading him.
Maybe, maybe not.
Yeah. So, but I like that. I like that trade for the Kings, man.
I like the debate. I'm interested to see how it works out for a guy that they had no intention on re-signing. I think they did quite well. That's all.
So you think they would have just let him walk for nothing?
Not let him walk for nothing. They were always going to trade him, but every team knew they were going to trade him. So what, you lose leverage that way.
Yeah.
I think it's hard to make a move when everyone knows you can't afford him and you can't qualify him because you know, you can't go to ARB.
Yeah, no, that's true. You're not getting,
they were up against value. The wall and they got first round pick and a solid prospect. Like I don't know. I think they did well.
Yeah, but I guess I'm one. I think the most overrated thing in the NHL a lot of the times are prospects and picks. I honestly think people overrate them when you look at the percentage chance of those players playing. That's all. Fine. Like, so it's the most
Kevin overrated. Fiala was playing in another team's uniform next year. So yeah. That's the basis of it is like, I don't like you got, you know, a top 20 pick and do with it what you will. Maybe it ends up being nothing, but at least it's an opportunity. It's another bullet in the chamber.
Yeah. Well, I'm curious about, so here's the guys that we can have fun comparing. Cause these are the recent contract signings that are in the pay range of Kevin Fiala, whether it's 7 or 8 year deals. Right. And obviously Fiala was 7 at 7.8. Thomas Hertl was at 8.1. Jack Hughes was at 8. Tkachuk was at 8.2. Nick Suzuki was at the same 7.8 to 7.5. Zibanejad's at 8 years at 8.5. You had Elias Pettersson, but his was only a 3 year deal. You know, Sean Couturier is 8 years at 7.75. Svechnikov, eight years at 7.75. So I really like when you look at the point production of Fiala. I think LA is going to get pretty good value. I agree. He might not be a driver, but I just think there's very few like real drivers in
right. The NHL. So I reserve paying those guys. If I'm running a team, I reserve paying those guys unless you're a driver.
Yeah. There's lots of non-drivers getting that is what I'm saying.
You're right. But there are a lot of the one, not all of them, but a lot of the ones you mentioned are not good deals. Yeah. And then even some of the ones that you did mention, I would say Sean Couturier is a driver, but that contract is going to look really ugly because he's got a lot of tread on those tires.
Yeah. Well, and you mentioned
he doesn't have a lot of tread on those tires.
Yeah. Well, and that's the advantage of Fiala. Fiala hasn't played a ton. Like he's just, man, I've really been digging into NHL players. Cause I hear a lot of people like, you know, to a guy who just turned 24 and people are like, well, yes, I'll play Yarvi's never going to be a player. Right. Cause he's been around for so long, but there's so many guys in the NHL, Frank, that very few of them are even close to their full capacity by the end of their 23rd year.
Okay, right? Let's talk about Puljujärvi, because there was a report out there today that he has let the Oilers know that he would like to be moved.
Sure.
He's already been on our trade targets board. Makes sense. What are your thoughts on Puljujärvi?
See, I think there's two extreme sides of Puljujärvi. There's the one side who thinks, because, you know, at times like Puljujärvi's puck skills aren't great, so they're like, ah, he's terrible, trading for a bag of pucks. And then on the other extreme, you've got, well, his analytics are so great, he makes McDavid's line better. And I'm like, pump the brakes on both. I try to cancel out the noise on those two extremes because I think they're both unrealistic. I look at Jesse Puljujärvi and I see a player who, to me, definitely needs to work on his puck skills. No question. I'd like him to work on his balance as well. But the things he does very well are he's a good forechecker. He's very good at getting pucks to guys on his line. He's not a great finisher. He's not being close to being paid by one at all, right? Like, I don't really care where he was drafted at back in 2016. To me,
it's irrelevant now.
Yeah, it totally is irrelevant. I think Jesse Puljujärvi right now can be, he's a complimentary top six winger who could be a very good third line winger, but he just turned 23. Like, to me, I do wonder about the comfort level in Edmonton for him. Like, he doesn't think the game at the level of McDavid or Draisaitl. And that's really hard because not a lot of guys do, right? But so I think at times he struggles with feeling like, hey, I got to get him the puck. But what people forget is Jesse Puljujärvi actually had a really good start to the season. Then he got injured and he got COVID. And after that, he wasn't the same guy. So to me, the Edmonton orders, the rumblings that, oh, they're going to trade him for a draft pick. I'll tell you right now, that's a garbage trade for Edmonton. A garbage trade. You're going to trade him for a second round pick?
They're not getting a second round pick for Jesse Puljujärvi.
Well, he's if you look at arbitration, Frank, he's above a half a point a game player.
I know.
All the comparables say he's probably going to get, you know, $2.5 to $3 million, right? And if he went to Arby, he'd probably get three. So I think Jesse Puljujärvi has some value. I'll tell you right now, if I was a team and the order's like, here, we'll take a second rounder, I'd give you a second rounder for him tomorrow. The chance a second round pick is helping you isn't until 4 years down the road. And even the chance that they do help you is we're talking like less than like maybe around 30, depending on which part of the second round, you know, anywhere from high end of 30% to low end of 18. If that pick's even going to play for you. Yes, Puljujärvi is an NHL player. And I think he's an NHL player who has yet to reach his peak. And you know, maybe he just needs a change of scenery, but I think if Edmonton just trades him for a pick at the draft, they're gonna rue that trade like Jeff Petrie trade. Andrew Cogliano is another prime example. First round pick, they traded him for a second rounder who never played in the NHL. Junk trade.
Okay.
What do you think?
Once out, I like the season Puljujärvi had in the regular season. I thought he was effective on the forecheck. I thought he used his size well. I thought he worked hard. I thought Jesse Puljujärvi in the playoffs looked like he was scared to death. Fair or unfair?
Well, he was a guy, Frank. I think he scored three goals, maybe four goals since January of 2020, right? Like, he had zero offensive confidence. So I don't discount that. He had
two in the playoffs.
Yeah. And well, one of them was just, you know, it's great. He just tapped it in, but hey, goal's a goal. But yeah, I think it's fair that Puljujärvi didn't look like the same player he had in the regular season, but I'm always cautious. In 2017, people in Edmonton, Jordan Eberle did nothing in the postseason. Nah, he's terrible. He's soft. He's never going to do anything. Now look at Jordan Eberle's playoff numbers ever since. Very good, right? Like, now
I'm not advocating one way or the other because
he's a better scorer.
Don't know the answer
than Puljujärvi, but I'm always leery to go off of a playoff one too much.
But what would you be willing to pay him?
Well, you're probably going to have to pay him 2.5 to 3 just because that's the going rate.
Is he worth it on a team that has a real cap crunch? Can you get away with paying him that to play on your third line?
Well, in Edmonton right now, he'd play in their top six because they don't have two better right wingers.
Okay.
Right. So like, that's the challenge for Edmonton. So you trade Puljujärvi, right? Now you lose Evander Kane, potentially, right?
Potentially.
They're talking about trying to move Cassian. That's we just watched the playoffs, Frank. It was an absolute bloodbath at times at how hard guys played. So you're going to move the three biggest forwards you have? What are you going to bring in? I don't think Edmonton could like, I know that Cassian's overpaid. I agree. But I'm not saying that you can't trade Jesse Puljujärvi, but to me, if you're going to trade him and you're the Edmonton owners, you can't just get a draft pick. I'll tell you right now, they'll lose that trade.
Okay. So so I asked you, what do you're going to pay him? And what if he doesn't want to be there? So you're going to pay a guy potentially overpaid to not want to be there.
Well, I don't know if it's overpaid. If you look at the going rate of players who are above half a point a game players,
that scores 5 goals in 6 months. It's an overpayment. That's what he did. Yeah, he had 3 in the regular season after January 1st and 2 in the playoffs.
Yeah. But look at his first 3 months. Like we can't just pick the bad parts of the season.
Okay. So he had 10,
he had 27 points. I thought in the first 41 games.
Yeah. But he had 10 goals or 9 goals in that stretch.
Yeah. Like he's never going to be a big goal.
I just don't understand the love affair.
Well,
because that's what I've said. Guys that like the analytics or like the numbers have like a straight, they're all horned up for Jesse Puljujärvi. And I'm not saying anything one way or the other. I'm just saying it's more than just numbers.
Yes.
And I watch the eye test and I watch him in the playoffs and I say, I'm sorry, this guy doesn't have the goods.
Yeah, well, I agree.
Not to say he won't later, but he does not have them right now.
Yeah, and I think Jesse Puljujärvi has room to grow still. Now, is he willing to want to put in the time?
Well, I was going
to
say, he seems like he needs to mature.
Yeah, he's got to mature when it comes to, you know, understanding
that things are hard. You got to buckle in.
Yeah, like to me, like any forward, you play on, you know what's on the other side of Connor McDavid's wing, Frank? Bags of money.
I was just going to say total glory.
Like, God, if you had any, it's like, I remember Ryan Smith's going to the net. Yeah, it sucks. But guess what? There's tons of money in front of the net.
Yeah.
You're willing to pay the price. You'll get paid.
Let's move on. Cause we got some comments saying where they don't like a lot of Oiler talk. So we covered off the Oilers and Puljujärvi, by the way, one of their big, I saw a report today as well. Archie Henderson, their director of scouting, also seems to be stepping back and retiring. Did you hear this?
Yeah, they're pro scout. Yeah. You know, he had a great career, but I think this is expected. I was expecting them to make some moves in their pro scouting. You know, he'll be through the draft, but we'll be looking for a new head. They'll promote from within possibly. So, you know, that's not a surprise. You'll see a little bit of the scouting carousel moves around the draft and into free agency. Usually, you know, you see the changes a little bit more, you know, into July, but yeah, that'll happen. The other story, Frank, is the rep, what do you make of, and it's not a shock to me because of their depth, but do you think that Bolts and A, would Ryan McDonough agree to be traded, and B, you know, do you think they'll be able to move him?
I don't know. That's a lot of terms. 6, 7, 5 times 4, man. That is a ton. You know what's interesting about Ryan McDonough? I thought the first 3 rounds of the playoffs, he was really, really good. And I thought he might have been the worst player on the ice in the Stanley Cup final.
A lot of tread on those tires, man, for sure.
He's seen some things. I don't know what they do. It seems like if you're just looking at it from 30,000 feet and they're shifting the money around, if they try and trade McDonough, it seems like that money would go right into Andre Palat's pocket. Doesn't it?
Yeah,
why else would you be so encouraged or wanting to do that?
Well, I think it might be because they want to clear up some cap space. Because if you look at Palat's coming off a $5 million contract, right? So even if he gets a raise to 6, he's really only taking $1 million of that money of McDonough's, right? So because he's currently a $5 million player. Right. So he'd only take one of that McDonough. I really think Tampa, I know, is super high on foot, right? They've got Cernak, they got Sergachev, you still got Hedman. Like,
Are they high on foot? I don't think they are. He didn't play in the playoffs. And I think they've sort of been like, okay, he hasn't been able to crack the lineup yet. What are we doing here?
Yeah, but he's young, man. Like, look at him. What is he? Wasn't he only a 2019 pick or maybe an 18?
I don't know. he's turns 24 in December. Like, he's not that young. 24. Like, he's only got 91 games of NHL experience and he hasn't played more than 13 minutes a night. I don't think they're high on Cal Flutt.
Okay. Oh yeah. Nolan was drafted, sorry, in 2019. Not Cal.
Yeah. He turns 24 in December. You saw them move on from Tkachuk and Radish, at the trade deadline in that Brandon Hagel trade. And I think they were kind of at the point with a couple of those guys. And I think Cal Flutt's in that category where it's like, if you haven't proven to this point that you can be not just a, you know, steady contributor, but also an impact player, like, you know, maybe there's more value elsewhere for you.
Possibly. McDonough's an interesting trade target for me. And, you know, if the Sharks had a GM, I'd really be curious to see what they would do on their defense core, because Brent Burns can still play. I know he's still got a few years left on his contract, but Brent Burns has been really good. And I wonder, a big body can skate, still bring offense. Yeah, an absolute.
Don't you need to get a GM in place? Like, I know.
Well, that's what I just said. But like, yeah, that's what, like, I mean. They got to get one.
Like, how much longer do they want to wait? I don't know. Didn't make the playoffs.
Like, I think Brent Burns, Frank, would have more. If you put McDonough and Burns on the open market, I think Brent Burns would have a lot more interest from teams. Like, I still think he's got a lot of game left in him.
I think that's fair. I do too. I'm actually surprised.
I like McDonough, though. I want to say that. I like McDonough.
I'm surprised that Seattle didn't. You know, they didn't take Brent Burns, like, right? Am I misremembering that? Didn't they have an opportunity to take him and they didn't?
No, I thought Burns was protected. Was it Vlasic maybe who wasn't?
We have to go back. Checking. San Jose. Oh, Brent Burns was protected.
Yeah, he was protected.
Vlasic, Carlson, and Burns were all protected.
Yeah, geez. Yeah. Well, Vlasic had no move. That's probably why, but they still should.
He did. So did Carlson.
Yeah. Speaking of Seattle, Frank, like, there's a team, like, their whole draft was built on that this summer they were going to make some moves. Do you think they do?
I think if they're making moves, it would be to further increase assets and capital. Like, I think they're so far away from being competitive that as much as you want to try and make headway in your market and gives people something to cheer about, that I think to try and improve that way, you know, sort of upward right now is a mistake.
Yeah. I think they look back, they might want a little bit of a redo.
You think?
Yeah. There was a lot of questionable moves there from that draft, man. They could have had so many other decent players there. Like, yeah, just the Tarasenko
one by one, Tarasenko, like, even just watching Colorado in the playoffs, JT Compher over Jonas Donskoy. Like, you know, you can go through it one by one and you're like, man, that was tough.
Yeah. Yeah. Comfort. That's a really good one. I forgot about that one.
I mean,
yikes.
Yikes. Some of the, like here's another example. And I just happened to be looking at the page because I was looking up whether Burns was protected or not. But look what they did with the Flyers. Like, Jake Voracek goes out and has a 60 point season. And I know he had contract and term and all those things, big cap hit. He took Carson Twarinski. I'm not kidding you. When I was going through that entire exercise and I was, you know, reporting the details as it was going on, when someone said to me, Carson Twarinski is the guy, I was like, who? And I live in Philly and have covered the Flyers like a glove for the last however many years. I didn't even know who that was. No offense to Carson Twarinski, but it was like, you galaxy brained that decision. Could have taken James Van Riemsdyk, who put in 24 goals again. Like, there's just so many other opportunities to get talent, acquire talent. That should be the challenge.
No, well, and especially when they were willing to spend money, like, or maybe behind the scenes, they said they didn't want to, but yeah, there was a lot of head scratching decisions from that one. And I look and here we are a year later and I'm like, okay, well, now are they going to make some moves this summer? Right? Like, yeah, we'll see if they do or not, but, it's been pretty quiet. What
about the Grubauer signing?
Well, that one was a little bit odd to me too. Like, you know what though, you look back on it. If they don't sign Grubauer, Kemper doesn't sign there. And then, you know, there was rumors that the Oilers had a deal close to being placed that Kemper would have came from Arizona to Edmonton.
Right. They actually had somewhat equal deals on the table. Colorado and Edmonton did. and they took the deal from Colorado.
Yeah.
I think they liked the prospect that was involved better.
Yeah. So
that's what it came down to.
Yeah. Well, you know what? You wonder if Colorado, like, would they have won with Grubauer? You'll never know. Maybe.
Maybe.
Possibly, because hey, they won with a 903 save percentage. So it might be safe to say they would have.
That was amazing. You know, Darcy Kemper entered that morning, game six, 899.
Yeah.
Well, they won in spite of their goalie.
What about the Avs? Kudos to them. I always like a team that, hey man, it's a big accomplishment to win. And they had quite the parade. And it looks like they had boatloads of fun the last few days in Denver, Colorado. And now, I look at their offseason. I'm not sure if you saw that interview with Eric Johnson talking about how Francouz was buckled and said, hey, we're going to win again next year. Man, I look at this team and the way they're built. And, you know, I think they're going to bring Nikushkin back, Frank. What about Kadri? What is your sense on Nazem Kadri?
Oh man, as the week has gone on, I've actually waffled a bit. I thought that they would find a way to bring him back. And my sense now is that there are so many teams out there that are looking for an impact player like Kadri that they are willing to give him the sun, the moon, and the stars. That's kind of what I'm thinking, that they won't be able to match.
Like 8 million, you're thinking?
Oh yeah. Like it might even be more than that.
Wow.
Yep. And well, even though it's 7 years, versus eight, I don't know. I think they're going to try in Colorado. I just don't think it's going to be feasible. And I know that one team that has Nazem Kadri very high up on their list of targets this summer is the New York Rangers. Ryan Strome, take that money out, pay Nazem Kadri. Starts to make a lot of sense. They've got a team that's built really strong on the wings.
Yeah.
And then you throw Kadri in as you slot him perfectly as your 2C. Looks pretty good.
Well, if I'm New York, Ryan Strome gave him pretty good bang for their buck, but Kadri overall is a better player. I think that's fair. But if Strome's I don't know.
33 more points Kadri did this year than Strome.
Yeah. But do you think Nazem Kadri is going to come close to that again?
I don't know. That's the one thing. We were just talking about players blooming later, and I was mentioning how this season was a statistical outlier for Fiala. I don't know. There's something about Kadri that was so impressive in these playoffs, coming back in that injury, and not to have too much recency bias, but the determination he showed to be a driver, quite frankly, to go back to that word, that's what he was. And that's hard to do. And no matter what, and it's not a knock on Ryan Strome, Ryan Strome's not a driver and doesn't have a chance to be.
I'll say this about Kadri. If he goes to New York and plays with the bread man, he'll be coming close to 87 points again.
That's kind of what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
It's the same level, not right on par, but pretty similar level of talent to what he was surrounded with in Colorado.
Yeah. So I don't wonder what angle they'd go. Cause I'll tell you, free agents, Frank, Colorado would be a pretty, pretty attractive landing spot if you're a free agent.
I'm curious to see what they do with their RFA and Arturi Lehkonen.
Lehkonen. Yeah. Well, I think they're going to,
that's a good one, man.
I think they're going to keep.
That's a potential offer sheet target. I should have put him on my list. They're not going to be able to afford much more than $4 million for him.
What are they? Well, and maybe I don't want to steal one of Ty's questions, but I read your article about the potential offer sheets.
Does he feed you the questions ahead of time?
No, I don't. And how do you know this? Leave it. Stop talking offer sheets. Damn
okay.
It.
Well, that's why I said I didn't want to ruin it, but I was just like, okay, well, bring in Tyler Ramchuk and then we'll see what his question is. And then maybe we'll use
holy
it
crap,
later. But
Tyler was actually listening to the whole episode.
Yeah. I only took one break to fill up my water bottle. And other than that, I've been dialed in
to fill up your beer.
The people on the video can see, Frank, that is water.
Buddy, he's got a big game tonight. He can't have any pregame beers.
That's a huge.
Wait, you guys don't booze before softball?
Oh, no, I do.
Come on. Don't that worry. Was the only reason to play softball. Mm-hmm.
But I don't drink while I'm editing podcasts. It's a principal thing. Anyways, buy or sell.
I'm your boss. Technically, exactly. Your contract says you report to me.
Exactly. Buy or sell is delivered by our friends at DoorDash.
Ding dong.
Happy long
Still can't
weekend.
Believe they let me be in charge of people. It's amazing.
Yeah, it's a loose term, though. I will say that. Rundown DD is the promo code. 25%
off. In quotation.
Am I a good boss? I don't. I do break your balls sometimes, but I think I'm pretty good.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I don't have a lot of complaints.
I don't know.
What do you think he's going to say right now, Frank?
I think you're pretty honest and rip me.
It's a fast-paced environment.
I would deserve it.
No. I don't rip you, Frank. I never would. I think we work together great.
We have fun, I tell you that. Yep,
we certainly do. Where was I? Buy or sell? DoorDash.
Yes.
It's the long weekend. What I was going to say, you don't want to cook? Come on. Order some delivery, courtesy of our friends at DoorDash. Your favorites are more delivered right to your door. Let's start with the offer sheet question. Buy or sell? We will see one offer sheet or more this summer. Frank?
Buy. I don't know who, don't know where. I just think with the flat cap, with teams unable to really devote the type of resources that they should to some of their impact restricted free agents, that there are opportunities this year that really, it's sort of a compounding effect of like the cap being flat year over year now, that there are chances to do it.
Fair enough, Jay.
That does increase it. I'm still going to sell.
History would be on your side.
Yeah. Unless Carolina's GMs or owners got another bone to pick, I'm going to say that there'll be none.
It would be the Montreal side, right? They need to return the volley now.
That would be unreal. Good. But Carolina doesn't really have an RFA guy, do they?
Yeah, they do. Marty Natchez. He was the guy that was, he was number one on my board for that exact reason. Because, this is how we know Jay didn't read the article. he was number one on the board and the photo. And the reason for that is because of the Montreal Canadiens and their sort of history that they have going back and forth. If they could return the favor as they now have some cap space and potentially even more if Carey Price isn't able to play, to go after Marty Natchez, who is the better player, and return the favor at the same time than Jesperi Kotkaniemi, that would be juicy.
That would be real good. That would be an NBA-esque level of drama in the NHL offseason, which would be fantastic. You guys touched on Tampa Bay a little bit, the McDonough thing. I'm going to say both Nick Paul and Andre Palat are back with the Bolts next season. Jason, you buying or selling?
Ooh. Gosh, I think they'd like them both to be back. I'm not sure how they have unless they get rid of McDonough. So I'm going to sell. I think one's back for sure, but I think it's going to be tough to fit in both.
Frank?
I'm going to buy. I think only if they're able to move McDonough, though, because if they're able, we just did the math, right? And you're saying Palat's at five, let's say he gets a raise to six and gets a little bit of term. That's only one additional million from McDonough. A good chunk of that would go to Nick Paul. So I think there's a distinct possibility if they can move McDonough first.
And the next time the three of us chat, we will be in Montreal for the NHL draft. So a little draft themed question for the third one. I'm going to say two picks inside the top 10 change hands in the next week. Frank, buying or selling? We've heard that I'm reading on Twitter from the accounts I follow. The Habs maybe want to get back into the top 10 with a second pick. The Devils at pick number two has been talked about. Huh? Two picks, top 10 change in hands, buying or selling?
Selling. History's on my side again. Top 10 picks rarely move. It's possible. This draft is all over the place. I can't remember one this uncertain heading in. Maybe kind of since that Puljujarvi draft, but even the Puljujarvi draft, like,
well, Matthews and Laine were kind of obvious, right?
Right, but everyone gasped when Puljujarvi didn't go three, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's really when like the bleep hit the fan. I would say I'm still going to sell. I'm going to say no.
Well, if you look at the makeup of their team, if Slavkovsky does go first to Montreal, which I think is a very good possibility, I could easily see New Jersey not taking the center and going with a defenseman. Really? I could easily see.
But wouldn't you trade down then to do that?
Or would New Jersey, if they get a sense Montreal is going to take Slavkovsky, would they trade up to make sure they get one? And would Montreal just say, sure, we'll slide back and get an asset and still get a guy we like?
Yeah, I was like, when was the last time anybody moved up into the top five on draft day?
2000 and I just wrote this 2001. Hmm. It's been 21 years since someone has moved into the top like
that. Was that the Columbus, Florida trade? With Nash and Bomeister?
No,
because that's where they swapped picks and they ended up actually giving up more just to move down, which is like the dumbest trade I've ever heard of.
No, the last time that someone's moved into the top three that wasn't there, like it came from outside. No, I'm talking not just like swapping picks, is the Zdeno Chara, Jason Spezza trade with the Sens
and for Yashin.
Right. Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. That's the last time. It's 21 years ago. So it's a long time ago. Jason Spezza just retired. He's actually working for the Leafs now and was at the Memorial Cup with Kyle Dubas, is working in their front office. So,
yeah. See, I think even moving up, Ty, I'm going to say, I don't see it, because I think the talking to so many scouts and even amateur scouts for NHL teams, there's so much uncertainty in this draft in how everybody views players so much different. The lack of views, the lack of games played by a lot of these players has people less staunch in how they view guys. I most still view the top 20 as the top 20, but in what order is very different. And I think you're going to see, like, remember when Mo Sider went, and clearly the Red Wings were right.
Yeah.
But I remember when Mo Sider went six and everyone's like, even Red Wings, I saw Mo Sider reading the tweets from draft night a few years ago from Detroit fans, which was pretty funny. But you saw that. So all you have one scout or one team that looks and says, hey, this is the guy we want. I think I could see, if you would tell me there's going to be three guys who aren't rated collectively in the top 10 go in the top 10, I'll buy that.
Yeah, fair. And actually, what'll be interesting too, because a lot of times I think, you know, a team has a guy they like, they think they can get him later, they trade down. But if the draft class is weak, I kind of wonder if teams will just sit there and be like, if every team wants to move down, you probably won't be able to get a lot for moving down. So teams might just sit there and be like, you know what, let's not risk it. We don't need a third rounder. Screw it. Let's pick our guy here. So you're right, Jay. I like that element of unpredictability this year in the draft. Let's get on to our PointsBet bonus question, brought to you by our friends at PointsBet Canada, live in Ontario. Long weekend. I want to know what you guys are drinking. What's going to be the drink of choice over the next few days here in the sun, Frank?
I've got a little vodka iced tea concoction made by my friends at Stateside Vodka. It's called, I just want to get the name right because I mess it up. It's called Surfside. And it is fantastic. If you like iced tea, if you've had Twisted Tea, which like tastes like fake and malt beverage-y, mm-hmm. Or if you've had some other spiked iced teas, this is just a very plain iced tea, no sugar, 3 grams of carbs, 90 calories. Not that I care, because this body is not a temple, but it's very refreshing and you don't feel like you're tasting vodka at all, which is the best part.
Great. Jay?
I'll give a little shout out to the Rundle Bar Gin from the Wildlife Distiller. I got it in the mountains in Canmore. It's unreal. It's one of the few times, and I go with the sugar-free soda with it. But what I like about it, because I'm still a kid at heart, is when you pour it in the glass, it's blue gin. But then when you add the soda, it turns purple.
That's sick.
It's a very simple thing. And that's what I like. And then, you know what? I like neutrals because they're easy. All I got to do is pop the lid. Away we go.
That's good.
You're a gin guy, huh?
I like a good gin.
I did not see this
coming. Oh, buddy. Gin? Love it.
I don't know anyone normal who drinks gin.
My dad's a big gin guy.
There you go. Gin is great. I'll guarantee you, listeners, tweet at me. I guarantee you there's a lot of our listeners that like a good gin. Are you kidding me? Like, ooh, gin's classic. I just remember when you were back in the club days when you'd have the gin and in the bar and all of a sudden it looked different in the light in your glass. That was kind of cool when you're 18. It was the simple things, Frank, simple things. Used to think I was buckled and hallucinating, but then I saw it sober and it actually was that. So
very good. For me, it's a Nation beer as always, but also there's an Alberta brewery, Wild Rose Brewing, who has a new peach Hefeweizen. I don't think I'm saying that right, but it is
Hefeweizen.
It's very tasty. Yeah. I don't need to know how to say it to drink them, Frank.
Peach flavored beer.
Oh, fuck, Jay, it's so good.
I love peach flavored anything.
Me too. Yeah.
What?
Yeah,
it's tasty.
Peach flavored ice cream.
That's more of a surprise than me drinking gin. Is that you guys are peach beer lovers? Peach.
I don't like any beer at all, to be honest. Mm. I can't drink it.
Yeah, well, I was just gonna say, I can see why you don't like it.
I used to think it was normal. I'd go out after a game and have 1 million beers, and then think it was normal to be glued to the airplane toilet the next morning.
I actually had a second points bet bonus question. Actually, I'm rocking this sweet Oakland A's throwback jersey, so I want to know from you guys. This is my favorite throwback jersey in all of sports. All of sports. So non-hockey or hockey, I don't care. What's your favorite throwback uniform in sports, Frank?
This is a true life confession. I do not own any jerseys of any
kind. Yeah, but just to look at, like,
sport.
When you see,
like, in any sport, like, I don't own an Eagles jersey, nothing. Like, I just, first off, I think it's weird to wear another man's jersey. Okay. I get it in your case. If you want to wear a Noah Gregor jersey to a game, I am all for that. I don't get it otherwise. And well, I know this is not me being a hardo with that take. It's just like, I just think it's weird.
Yeah, the best part about that, Frank, is I just wear a Gregor jersey 73, so it's really like I'm wearing my own.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a little suspect.
Well, it's the same last name, right?
I know, but you didn't make it to the National.
No, you're right, I didn't, but the name did.
This is true.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. Frank, you don't have to own it. Favorite throwback jersey in sports that you just look at?
Okay, so I'll give you a few that I really like to look at. NBA... The purple Toronto Raptors jerseys they were nasty.
I got one of those too. They're sick.
Yeah. I would say in hockey, you know what I saw a lot in the cup final that I love is those Nordiques in the Avs colors throwbacks. Mm-hmm. Those are pretty sick. I like any of the Nordiques ones in general. It reminds me of NHL 94. I don't know. Baseball, nothing really gets me that excited in baseball.
Easiest throwback, the Hartford Whalers green is the greatest jersey of all time. But if I'm going NFL, I will take the powder blue of the Chargers. Sick jersey. And I like it because
it's again.
Yep. Yeah, I know. I like it because it's very different. The old orange and white of the Houston Astros. The jersey is money.
Oh, the stripe one called the Colt 45s.
So good.
I got the Tequila Sunrise stripe Nolan Ryan Astros jersey I picked up a few years ago. It's unreal.
That is sick. And hey, speaking of your Oakland, what about Major League Baseball potentially waiving the $1 billion fee and they're going to go to Vegas? They're just going to waive it and let them go to Vegas potentially.
That's not surprising. Oakland's been on its last legs for a while.
Well, that's when you know your league's got a lot of money that you're just going to waive the $1 billion. Relocation fee.
All right, there we go. That's a little bit of fun to wrap up a buy or sell long weekend edition delivered by our friends at DoorDash.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design, thoughtful construction, and little details that make life in your space easier. And now they're bringing that comfort and style outside with their outdoor collection. Burrow's outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry stain-resistant foam cushions. As always, you get free shipping on every order. Get 15% off at burrow.com/acast. burrow.com/acast.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Did you guys see the hilarious clip of Bowen Byram?
I wanted to bring this up. Yeah.
Avs parade. So Bowen Byram was like walking along the stanchions that like separate the fans from players. And a bike cop in Denver is yelling at him, like, get back there, get behind the fence.
Well, he looks like he's like, what is he, 20? So I get it.
No, right? I know. But then the guy, he's like, no, I play for the team. And he's like, no, you don't, get back there. And he's like, no, I actually play for the team. He's wearing his own jersey. It is an epic clip. The guy's like, no, no, you don't.
So it's a class. Well, what Bowen Byram should have done once the guy let him say, hey, man, give me your name. I'll bring you to the game next year. Because that's epic. You know, like, policeman's trying to do his job. He got, I don't know how many thousands or million fans there, right? Like, I'm sure there's a few people trying to get in. So
still awesome.
I thought Bowen Byram, you know what? Stayed calm. Didn't get too upset about it. Like, he got two beers. The best part was the policeman didn't even confiscate his beers. He just looked at him and said, hey, get back. Well, he was double fisting. Classic. But
it's a parade.
Oh, well, yeah, as you should be. Now, Frank, it's funny. I did read the article. You know what's funny? I like the Ottinger and Sandin. Those are the two that I thought had the best chance.
What, did you read it during Buy or Sell?
No, I didn't. But I forgot that Nekash was number one, right? But I Jake Ottinger, I just, man, you'd have to offer so much, but that could be the guy.
I mean, goalies are weird, right? Especially coming out of entry level, sub 100 games played. Like, you, like the position is so fickle that you'd really have to be all in on thinking he's the guy, which I could see why you would, but I could also see why if you're the team that's looking at the offer sheet going like, oh, I don't know, man. Like, I might just take a bevy of picks here.
Sure. But even like, what if you went 3 years at 8 million for Jake Ottinger?
I'd match it probably.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, so you'd have to go pretty high, right? That's why I think it's tough. Like, usually you're overpaying for any offer sheet.
That's the point though. And that's why I think last year the Canes found the secret sauce with Kotkaniemi was 1 year. You just have to overpay for 1 year just to simply acquire the player.
Yeah.
And if you have cap space, what's the difference? You don't get to take it with you when the season's over.
No, like, I'll still argue though, Frank, a $6 million player in your fourth line for a team that was that close to the cup. Imagine what they could have used at the deadline to fill in for that $6 million.
He's now going to be their second line center for the next 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
So did they lose or did they win?
But are they going to be close to competing for the cup again?
They think they are.
Yeah, I don't think, but they're look at like that pressure. Roster, man. Like, that roster last year was good.
Yeah.
They're going to lose Trocheck. They're probably losing Niederreiter.
Almost definitely losing D'Angelo. I mean,
yeah. So how are they better? That's to me is my only,
they've got a lot of work to do.
Yeah. Like, I thought last year with that $6 million, you could have saved that at the deadline. Oh my goodness. They could have been huge players.
It's still amazing. That trade. I so wish the Canes and Panthers met in round three. Do you know how amazing that would have been if Max Domi scored a goal while the Panthers paid part of his salary? Remember, they were part of the retained salary transaction.
Yeah, I know. I was a little, that was a, a little,
that
surprising.
Would have been amazing,
but obviously they didn't value him very high is the way I looked at it. They're like, man,
I looked at it as more or less pure hubris. Like, we think we're going to, we're going to be moving on and they're not. So it's not going to be a problem.
Right. It's very true. Well, Florida is an interesting team for me.
Last time I checked, the Canes won more playoff games than the President's Trophy winners.
Yep. So Florida's one of those teams, Frank, as we head into the long weekend and we'll join up at the draft. We'll have a pod midweek before the draft. So
there's still a pod from Gibby's Steakhouse.
Oh, dude, I love that. Is that where we're going for dinner on Tuesday?
Oh yeah.
God, I love that place.
Table reserved after the Jason Gregor show on Tuesday.
Lime pie, buddy. Might be the greatest key lime pie I've ever had.
I am going to have 6 vodka martinis with blue cheese olives before you even get there.
Oh, buddy, that place is so good. Like, unreal. My mother-in-law grew up in Montreal, and she was the one who told us to go there. She went there as a kid. Like, the building's 400 years old. And so she's now in her 70s. So that was like 70 years ago she went there. We sent her pictures from it, and she just couldn't believe it. You know, she hasn't been back to Montreal in a long time. And it was it lived up to the billing. It was excellent.
Yeah. I'm just sad that they closed Moishe's in Montreal. That was an institution as well.
Well, another place we should go that I found when I was there for F1 is St. Pierre's Pub. Sick place.
Oh, you could get lost in Montreal. I have gotten lost in Montreal and just didn't surface for a couple of days.
Well, Frank,
another lifetime ago.
happy 4th of July to all of our listeners, to you. Happy Canada Day to all of the Canadians listening. And we will see each other in Montreal next week at the draft and have a special Wednesday pod the day before the draft. And then we'll have one Friday after round one leading into round two.
Thanks for listening to the DFO Rundown with Saravalli and Gregor. Keep it locked on dailyfaceoff.com and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts from to never miss an episode. Delivered by DoorDash.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, hockey fans, listen up because we've got something special coming your way this playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and let me tell you, it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game day, you're going to be faced with four questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle. And here's a sneak peek into some of those questions we'll be firing your way. First up, you got to pick the winning team. That sounds simple, right? But there's more. You got to decide if the total amount of goals in the game will be over or under a certain amount, and that's where the real strategy starts to kick in. Next up, you're picking who's going to find the back of the net first, and you're going to want to be careful because that's one that could be cooked early on in the game. And finally, you got to predict which period is going to be the highest scoring. Will it be a barn burner in the first, a shootout in the second, or a nail biter in the third? That's up to you to decide. Now let's talk about prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? For the daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards to treat yourself to some fresh nation gear, and you might even win a jersey from your favorite team. And for the big dogs, those who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Play now at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.